Praise the Lord. No matter how many times we sing that, it's always true. Amen. No matter how many times I open this King James Bible, it's true. Unto every generation. Did you know that? I was thinking about this while we were singing in Ephesians chapter number 3. And he's talking about the church being a mystery hidden from ages in the past. And the revelation of that mystery, God revealing it to these apostles and disciples. But I like what he said when he went on down in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now that's real salvation right there. Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith, that may be able, he's talking about us, and may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. God loves you with unpassable human knowledge. You can't, and I cannot grasp how much Christ loves us. Not in this mind, in the mind of Christ maybe, but not in the carnal mind. Now listen, and that's saved or lost. He loves you. But this is the verse, and I want you to listen to it. Now unto him, it's talking about Jesus, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I read that because I remember when I was lost, going to the altar many a time or praying many a time, and it never got saved, never got changed. And I remember thinking, this is just not possible. It's just not going to happen. And I remember the day that I got saved, getting down on my knees and saying, God, if you don't do something, it's not going to be done. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. In my mind, I just didn't know how it was going to happen, or if it would, but he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And he saved me that day. He can save you. Amen. He can save you. He can change your life and make a new creature out of you. Listen, you won't even be thinking the way you're thinking right now. I mean, you're going to have different desires, different wants. You're going to be living in a new world. There's an old song that says, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me.
Well, amen. I told you on Thursday night that we would snap our fingers and all this would be over pretty quick, huh? Here we are on Saturday morning. And we're at the last service. I want to commend you for your faithfulness, and I want to thank the young people for the singing this week. You have been a great blessing to my heart, and to see you in the service time and time again has lifted my spirit. I'm excited about the possibilities of what God may do in your life in days to come, and it was my honor to meet so many of you for the first time. Let's open our Bible to the book of 1 Samuel this morning, book of 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And we're going to try our best to give you what we believe the Lord would have for our final service together this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And I want to start reading there, if I could, in verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And the Bible says this. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. If you know much about this book, in the previous two chapters, we are introduced to a woman by the name of Hannah, who had a great burden to have a child. The Lord answered her prayer and her burden, gave her a young man by the name of Samuel
to which she, according to her vow, gave back to the Lord to be raised over at the house of God. This is that young man, Samuel. We find him here in verse number 1. They are living really with the priest Eli at the temple, being raised around the things of the Lord. Now the Bible says in verse number 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And Aer, the lamp of God, went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. But the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." He said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again Samuel. Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now, watch verse 7. This is very important to help you understand the passage. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So here's what's going on. They're at the temple. They had a place of sleeping quarters there. And it was a night. Now Samuel's not saved yet. And the Lord was calling Samuel. And he thought it was Eli. He would get up every time and run over to Eli's sleeping quarters and say, "You called, sir?" And Eli would be like, "I didn't call you, son. Go lay back down." It happened 3 times. And the reason it happened that way is because he was assuming that the voice of God was the voice of the man that he had heard time and time again in his life. Okay? So it goes back there in verse number 8. The Bible says this. And the Lord called Samuel again the 3rd time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end." If you look back in verse number 1, if you would. The Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli," and here's a key phrase, "and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." That last phrase just simply means this. It means, in other words, God wasn't speaking much in those dark days, but he was speaking. And in this case, he was speaking to Samuel. And Samuel hearing his voice and being able to distinguish what God was saying was vitally important. And I want to use that thought this morning, and that's exactly what I want to preach to you about today, hearing the voice of God. I've talked to you so far this week, or I preached to you about walking with God. Then last night I talked to you or preached to you about talking to God. And now I want to preach to you about God talking to you. Okay? If you get those 3 things down in your Christian life, you're going to be fine. Walking with God, talking to God, and then hearing from God. And in this particular passage of Scripture, you and I can learn a whole lot about what it's like to listen for the voice of God and to hear it in your life. So that's what I want to preach on this morning with the help of the Lord. Let's you and I pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy and for the opportunity to gather here on a Saturday morning with this precious, Lord, family of those folks in the faith. I pray, God, today that you'll take our final service together, use it mightily for your glory. I pray you'll bless the lives of these young people after this meeting is over. May the things that have been preached to them resonate in their hearts. May you use it to change their lives, encourage them along the way. And God, all that you do, we'll be careful to take none of the glory or the credit, but we'll reflect it all back to you, because it's only by your power that anything is accomplished in our lives. May you be glorified in this service, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen and amen. As our text alludes to this morning, since God doesn't speak all the time, when he does speak, it is extremely precious. Now, with that being said this morning, the first thing I want to get across to you is this, that hearing the voice of God is not a spooky idea. It is not a diagnosis for some kind of schizophrenia. You know, if you go out in the world and say, "I hear voices," they're probably going to put you in a home. Probably going to medicate you. They may even put you in a jacket and put you somewhere where you can't hurt yourself or nobody else. But that is not a problem whenever you consider what is very clearly stated to you and I in the Word of God. Matter of fact, God speaking to us is not just an Old Testament concept, but Jesus actually spoke very clearly on the idea in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, if you want a reference for that, it's the book of John chapter 10 in verse number 27. Jesus made this very stirring statement. He said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." In other words, Jesus was saying that him speaking to an individual was the very source for great spiritual things in their life. Because when Jesus speaks to us, it is both directional and devotional. God speaking to us through his word is how that we grow in our faith. Matter of fact, I'll say this to you and I. Hearing the voice of God is the way we know we're saved. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." The first time God ever speaks to an individual is when he speaks to you and I as a sinner, showing us our need for salvation. He didn't speak to us before then. As a matter of fact, when he speaks to us and shows us our need of salvation, if we don't trust him, then he won't speak to us again in any other way, shape, or form until we do listen to God's appeal to us about our need for salvation. You're here today, I hope that you can point back to a time in your life where he showed you you was a sinner, and then you put your trust in him, and he saved you. And if that has taken place in your life, then guess what? You have heard the voice of God, and you should still be hearing God's voice. So he speaks to us, and in that speaking, it should, number one, assure us of our salvation, but secondarily, hearing the voice of God is also essential for direction. Notice when he said in John 10, verse 27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice." And then he said this, "They follow me." They follow me. It's very important because you and I need to realize that God speaks to us about major decisions in our life. Here in our text chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 3, he is speaking to Samuel there for the first time about the subject of salvation. By the way, that's very important. You and I know that he spoke to a man by the name of Abraham in the book of Genesis about his destination. He would speak later to a man by the name of David after he had sinned and repented about his rejuvenation. So God speaks to his children. That is indisputable here in the Word of God. Can I say this morning, you and I should be able to draw from what we've learned thus far in the message that if God doesn't speak to me, I'm not his. And if I don't hear from God through his word, then I'll never be able to walk in God's will. God speaks to his children. So what we need to learn this morning is how do we hear the voice of God? Now, I do want to real quickly before I dive into our text and really start to weed through it and pull out the meat of the message, I do want to say this. There are a lot of people that claim to hear the voice of God that are delusional about it. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? Well, you ever met the crowd that says stuff like this, "God talks to me all the time"? That's pretty far-fetched. Devotionally from the Word, yes, God's Word will speak to us on a very consistent basis. But if you study a man like the name of by the name of Abraham in the Bible, he was 75 years old when he got saved, dies at 145, and there's only 10 times in the Bible that God spoke directly to him. But when God wants to speak, we surely want to be in a position to listen and get all that we can from what God's got to say to us. So what was present in Samuel's life when he heard the voice of God? It kind of gives us a recipe on how to hear the voice of God in our lives. I want to show you that right there very clearly in your Bible. First of all, the first thing that jumps off the page to me about Samuel hearing the voice of God, that what was present for him to do that, was that he was in a proper atmosphere. Notice the Bible says in verse 2 this, "And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was," watch this now, "and Samuel was laid down to sleep." The atmosphere upon which God first chose to speak to him was this. It was nighttime, it was quiet, and Samuel was still. An atmosphere plays a huge role in our lives on us being able to hear the voice of God whenever he speaks to us. Matter of fact, I'll say this. We're living in a day where I'm afraid we are rarely in an atmosphere to even hear the voice of God. We live in a world of perpetual busyness and racket. In Samuel's case, the proper atmosphere was, it was quiet, it was night, He was by himself, and there was no noise around him. You know, for a lot of us, as soon as we get out of bed, first thing in the morning, man, the TV comes on. We get out our phone. The computer gets fired up. Next thing you know, we're checking social media. Emails coming in. Texts start flowing. Can I say this morning this, and I'll make you a promise on this regard. God is not going to holler at us over the racket in our life. You and I got to create an atmosphere to hear what God's got to say. And in Samuel's case, it's quiet where he's at. It's the nighttime hour and so forth and so on. And I want to say this, listen to me closely. We live in a day where people have forgotten how to turn off the noise. Old timers used to say it like this. They used to call it meditating on the Lord, where you had a place where you could get alone, you could get quiet, you could get in the Bible, you could get into your prayer life, and then you could, amen, set an atmosphere for God to speak to you. If every waking moment I'm awake in the day, I've always got this thing in my hand, and I'm always concerned about what everybody else is saying. God's not hollering at me over that. God's not knocking that out of my hand or turning it off. He wants you and I to, amen, want to hear from him in such a way. We'll create an environment or an atmosphere for that to be done. Oh, let me prove it to you in the Bible that God speaks when the atmosphere is right. Mark your place there in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Go with me over to 1 Kings 19. I'll show you another biblical example of the atmosphere that's set when God speaks to people. I'll give you just a moment to get there. 1 Kings chapter number 19. While you're turning there, I'll give you the background of the text. Elijah, in that chapter, has already slain the false prophets of Baal. Jezebel has threatened his life, and he's on the run. When you get to 1 Kings 19, we'll pick our reading up in verse number 9. The Bible says this, "And he, being Elijah, came thither unto a cave." Remember, he's running from Jezebel, and so he's run to a cave. The Bible says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" Notice he's in a quiet place, alone, and he hears the voice of God. Watch what the Bible says in verse number 10. "And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake." Watch what it says. "But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after an earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in a fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." God wasn't in the racket. God wasn't in everything of the spectacle of the earthquake, the fire, and none of that was God in, but it was when everything was still and calm, that still, small voice spoke to Elijah. Now, you can go back, if you want to, over to our text in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, and we'll pick back up there momentarily, but before we do, I want to point out that in the Bible, that wasn't the only time that the atmosphere was like that an individual heard from God. Do you remember in the ministry even of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, how many times in his ministry to hear from the Father and commune with the Father would he steal away to the mountains alone to pray? He had to get away from the crowds where all the racket was, and he had to get in an atmosphere that was quiet so that he could talk to the Father, but more importantly, so he could hear from the Father. That's why he could make that statement that only he has ever been able to make in John chapter 8, verse 29, where he said this, "I always do those things that please him." You know why he could say that? He had heard clearly from the Father. And can I say to you young folk this morning, one of the greatest things you can ever do is learn to create a proper atmosphere where as you're reading God's Word and after you've talked to the Father, that he can talk to you as well. Can I say that directionally speaking as a Christian, I get the majority of my clarity and my peace about decisions I'm going to make or directions I'm going to take from being in a place where I can hear God's voice. Proper atmosphere. Number two, in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 3, not only do we see the proper atmosphere as part of hearing the voice of God, but we also see this, a conducive environment is part of hearing the voice of God. In verse 3, the Bible says, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." He is in the temple. That is a place where business is done with God. It's a holy place. It's a clean place. And it was an environment that was conducive to him hearing the voice of God. And can I say this for you and I? Listen, young folks, God is not going to speak to us if we are playing around in a hog pen. That's not just Old Testament economy, but in the New Testament, Paul, in his first letter to the church at Corinth, said it this way in chapter 10, in verse number 21. He said, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. He's talking about that cup of communion. He said, you can't flirt with the world, play with the world, be spotted by the world, and come in and have communion with me. It just does not work that way. Amen. And so there's a conducive environment. And can I say this right here? That it won't be a perfect environment. I mean, there's going to be, as you and I walk through this world, there's going to be times whenever you brush up against things you wish you wouldn't have brushed up against, and sometime it gets on you. That's why we have 1 John 1:9 in our Bible, so whenever we get it on us, we can get right about it. But even in his case, got to remember now, he's down at the temple with Eli as a compromised priest. And he's also, amen, in the youth group with Hophni and Phinehas, two preacher's kids that are lost and living wicked as the devil, but it's still the right environment around the house of God. Nobody goes to a perfect church. And nobody's got a perfect pastor. And you can look around all you want and find error in everything or everybody, but I'll say this, if you're living clean enough, you'll hear the voice of God whether anybody else around you is hearing it or not. It's a conducive environment. Number three, what's this there in your notes or in your Bible, 1 Samuel 3, we've seen so far that there was a proper atmosphere, there was a conducive environment. But in Samuel's life, there was also some personal involvement. Notice this. The Bible says there in verse number 1 of 1 Samuel 3, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. You and I already know he's in the temple. Now, this is what's amazing to me. Samuel here, though unsaved at the time, his entire life revolved around the temple, the work of God. He made it something that was very important and precious to him. Can I say this evening that if God's work in God's house means little to you, you can expect to hear much from God. But the things of God, and he's still unsaved when this chapter starts, but the things of God were something that meant something to him. I'm assuming he's living off the prayers of his mother. He had been taught that this is where he needed to be, and this is what he needed to be doing, and he was about that business. It was his personal involvement put him in a position to be able to hear from God. So for those of you that are here today that don't even have driver's license, somebody has made a way for you to be here. And so when you get here, be involved. Be tapped in. Don't just sit through a service and say, thank God that's over. No, if you'll involve yourself, God might speak to you. And oh, by the way, if your attitude is, thank God that's over, when it's done, then guess what you need? Back up to point number one, you need to be saved. The things of God would mean something to you if you were part of the family. And so we see that here Samuel had some personal involvement. I mean, think about this evening, that mostly you find people being spoke to by God in the Bible who were diligent about his business. People who are interested or involved in the things of God, you know they don't hear from God because of the decisions they make. And so we see in Samuel's case here, he had some personal involvement. He was invested at the house of God, and so therefore God spoke to him in the text. Now, in the fourth thing I want to point out to you this morning about hearing the voice of God and Samuel and the way it involved him or unfolded for him was the fact that he had a capable mentor. Watch this. The Bible says in verse 4 that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And now watch this next part. This is where the mentorship comes in. Latter part of verse 8, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. After him perceiving that, here's what he does next, verse 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lie down in his place. You know what helped Samuel understand how to hear or discern the voice of God in his life? He had a mentor in his life, though he was not at his apex right now. His mentor had been in the way long enough that he knew what when God spoke, what it was like. And so even though at this time right now he's not living as good as he ought to be living, he's not making the decisions he ought to be making, he still told Samuel, oh, okay, I get it. You think I'm calling your name. It's not me. It's the Lord. Here's what you do, son. Go lay back down. If you hear that voice again, I promise you it won't be me. So when you hear it, if you hear it, respond like this. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. He was capable enough as of a mentor that he taught Samuel how to understand when God and how God was speaking to him. Can I tell you, our churches are full of people that don't know how to hear or follow the voice of God, and they won't let a mentor help them. Now, biblically speaking, here's what the Bible teaches us about that. The Word of God in Proverbs 11:14 says this, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 24:6 says, for by wise counsel shall thou make war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. We all need people who have heard the voice of God like Eli in our lives. And let me tell you why, and young people, this really applies to you. There will be times when you think you've heard what God has said to you, and it's just your flesh. And you need to be able to go to a capable mentor and say, you know, I've been praying, and I think this is what God said. To which, if that mentor is capable, they can say, well, it's not, and here's why. To which, if you were wise, you'd respond and go, oh. And then they can set you down and put their arm around you and say, let me teach you how this works. Sometimes in your flesh, you want something so bad that you will assume that this is what God is giving you. But if it breaks scriptural principles or protocol, that's not God. That most likely is the adversary trying to woo you away from what you need by giving you what you lust for. And so he had a capable mentor. Again, I want to stress this now. Eli, he wasn't the greatest of pastors. He had a couple boys. He wasn't doing his job and taking care of them. They was all messed up in sin, and he was still letting them, you know, run rampant or slipshod, as we might would say, around the things of the Lord. But he had still heard enough of God's voice in his life that he knew how to tell that young man what was going on in his life spiritually. A capable mentor. I hope for you that your parents can help you, mentor you in hearing the voice of God. I know that you have got a pastor that loves you and cares about you, and he can be one of the mentors in your life that can help you discern God's voice in your life. That brings us to our fifth area of understanding this morning on hearing the voice of God. We've seen so far that you need a proper atmosphere, a conducive environment, personal involvement, and a capable mentor. But back in verses 4 through 9, the next thing I see about Samuel as to a reason why he heard the voice of God was he had a good attitude. He had a good attitude. Think about what that scenario would be like. I don't know about you, but when it comes time to sleep, I want to sleep. I don't want you to wake me up 4 or 5 times for no reason, okay? But here he is. Now, he's already got up 3 times out of the bed, thinking he heard the voice of Eli, goes to Eli's bedroom or bedchamber and says, you called, sir? To which Eli said, no, I didn't call, son. Go lay back down. Now, after about the 3rd time, I'm going to be real mad. I'm going to probably have a bad attitude about it. Okay, not Samuel. Samuel kept a real good attitude. And I mean, I would have thought, are you jerking me around? I know I heard my name. You know, I keep coming in. I know me and you, the only one here, sir. And my name keeps getting called. And I come in here and you say, you didn't do it. But he'd go to Eli's bedchamber and, sir, you called? I didn't call. Okay, I'll go back and get. He just kept his attitude right. And because he kept his attitude right, guess what God kept doing? God kept speaking until Eli got him on the right page to understand. This ain't Eli calling me. This is God calling me. Can I say one of the hardest things sometimes to do, but one of the most necessary things for you to do as a young person is keep your attitude right. God is speaking to people who have the right attitude. See, it is so easy sometimes as life evolves or as you get older to develop a wrong attitude. Sometimes you think that maybe you're not understood. Sometimes you think maybe nobody could possibly connect with what you're going through. And if you're not careful, what will happen is you'll get a sour or bad attitude. And before you know it, guess what? God ain't speaking no more. Nothing in life works out perfectly. Everybody has disappointments. Everybody goes through seasons where, I mean, you wanted one thing and you ended up getting another. But can I say this? It's possible to keep a good attitude even when things aren't going well or going as you might would consider right. And here Samuel is a picture of having an attitude of humility and respect and somewhat of a servant spirit. So God just kept on talking, trying to get Eli to point him in the right direction. Eventually they got on the right page, and guess who was the beneficiary of it? Samuel was. That moves us to the last thing I want to point out about Samuel's life as far as him hearing the voice of God. And that is that he had what we call or see from the text is a submissive spirit. Watch what happens in verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Can I tell you one thing that I know for a fact that God isn't doing? He isn't speaking to people who are in a state of rebellion. He's speaking to people with a submissive heart and spirit. Did you notice when Jesus was on this earth, he didn't say much to the Pharisees? Why waste your words? They were such rebels. I had a religious facade, but rebels on the inside. And so why waste your time with them? They're not going to listen anyway. God speaks to people who are submissive in their heart and in their spirit. And can I say this to you, whether you're young or old alike in here today, that if you're wanting God to speak to you about the next stage of your life or something pertaining to a directional decision, but you're still in rebellion over something he spoke to you about 2 weeks or 2 months ago, he's not. Because God speaks to people with a submissive heart, a submissive spirit. And so here you have in the text Samuel, and he has showed there by his response that he, whenever spoke to for the, well, I guess it would be the fourth time by the Lord there, his response was, speak, for thy servant heareth. He had followed the instructions given to him by his mentor, and he was ready to go. It all boils down to this. Where's all this land? Well, here in 1 Samuel chapter 3 is the first time Samuel hears the voice of God. It's his salvation experience, but it doesn't end there. Because if you follow verses 11 and 12, he goes on to tell Samuel what's getting ready to happen. And what was getting ready to happen in the kingdom was this. Because Eli had not done a good job being a priest, God was getting ready to take him and his two sons out because they were defiling the leadership of the temple. And guess what? Samuel was getting ready to be promoted to the prophet. To become the greatest one they ever had. He hears the voice of God here, and he learns how to hear the voice of God. Let me tell you how it pays off down the line. Fast forward in your Bible several years into the life of Samuel. God tells him, he says, Samuel, I want you to go down to the house of Jesse, and I want you to ordain me a king. At that time, Saul was king. And so Samuel takes off down to the house of Jesse because he had heard the voice of God, and God told him where to go. If you know the story real well, he gets down there and he says, Jesse, I need to see your sons. Jesse begins to have his sons come up, and he starts walking them by Samuel over there, and Samuel looks at old Eliab, I believe his name is, the oldest, and I mean, this old boy is head and shoulders above them all. He looks like king material, and here's what Samuel said to himself. He said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me, but the Lord said, I ain't chose this one. And the next one comes up, and Samuel says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And the Lord speaks up and hears his voice. He says, I didn't choose this one. And God does that through every one of Jesse's sons. They go through the whole lineup. And he gets to the end and he's like, well, hang on a minute. Everyone I think's the right one. God keeps saying, this ain't him. And he looks at Jesse and he says, Jesse, what in the world have you got it? Is there another youngin' of yours hit around? Oh, forgot about the runt. Somebody go get David. Right? And so they send for David, and old David, and as David tops the mountain, before Samuel has a chance to say, surely the Lord's anointed is before me, the Lord speaks up and says, this is him. This is the one you anoint. Right? Now, you know why all that was possible? because he learned how as a young man to hear the voice of God. And he heard the voice of God. And so whenever David got there, you know the story well. He kneels before Samuel. Samuel anoints him king. And the plan and the will of God is put in motion. You won't make a ton of mistakes and you won't end up on the wrong path in life if you'll learn to hear the voice of God right now. I want to challenge you young folk in your life to go ahead and get used to hearing the voice of God. Create an environment, an atmosphere, mind you, in your life now where you can hear the voice of God. Make hearing God's voice and spending time of intimacy with Him and communion with Him, make that the number one priority of your life. I mean, after you get saved, you want to move. Maybe you come to this meeting and right now you didn't really have a great walk with God and you really didn't have a great prayer life, and now we're talking about hearing God's voice. You wrap all that together in one fine package, and my heart's desire, and I drive 4.5 hours for just one young person in this meeting to get a hold of what it looks like to walk intimately with God. It's worth every bit of the last 72 hours if just one of you leaves this meeting and say, I get it. I know how to walk with God. I know how to talk to God. I know how to hear from God. You're going to be fine. Matter of fact, when I'm old and gray and defeated in the nursing home, you can come sing it in my room and pray for me. Because if you get a hold of that, you'll still be on the right path in the way years to come. That's all it takes. I said this on Thursday night, and I'll say it again as we close. I talk more to my children and my church about this very thing, walking with God, talking to God, listening to God, than anything else I preach to them. You know why? Because I know for a fact and by experience that if you'll get this part of your Christian life down, you're going to be fine. And not only are you going to be fine, but your church will be the beneficiary of you learning to walk with God, talk to God, and hear from God. Matter of fact, I'll say this. For the believer, it's a win-win situation. You win, the work of God wins, and the Lord gets glory. We learn to walk with Him, talk to Him, and hear from Him. And Samuel here in 1 Samuel chapter 3 gives us the recipe on how for the rest of your life you can hear from God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. And